Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Inyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, continuing our discussion from yesterday on Israel being a nation for 70 years as of May 14th, 2018, having been established as a nation again after 2,000 years without a homeland, almost. We're rounding off, obviously, from AD 70. When they became a nation again in May 14th, 1948. Regarding the American embassy moving to Jerusalem, those who hate the Palestinians, like Juan Williams on Fox News, and of course, he wouldn't say he hates them, right? I've interviewed Juan Williams a few years back, but his mistreatment of the Palestinians proves otherwise. Those who hate the Palestinians oppose moving our embassy to Jerusalem. You see, that position plays into the delusion of the terrorists, of Hamas, which governs, ostensibly and criminally, governs the Palestinians who live in the Gaza Strip. That position that no nation should move their Israeli embassy to Jerusalem plays into the delusion of the Palestinians. In fact, of hundreds of millions of Muslims and Arabs. So the Hamas charter denies the legitimacy of the state of Israel, and so many Muslims and Arabs with Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran and so on, they refuse even to recognize Israel as a nation state. So that is a delusion. And your life is miserable and a failure to the extent that you live your life based on a delusion. So while I am a strong opponent of Donald Trump for many reasons, including for authorizing $1 billion so far to go to the abortionist at Planned Parenthood, $1 billion, and for his promotion of homosexuality, which is the far greater threat to America and to the church than is ISIS, for example. But still, though I oppose and warn Donald Trump to repent and to turn to Jesus Christ, I am thankful that he moved our embassy to Jerusalem, which was the right thing to do. And I'm thankful that he did that because of my love for the Palestinians, and for the Jews, and for the truth, and for people basing their lives not on delusion, but on reality. So Juan Williams hates the Palestinians, as does CNN, the mainstream media, the Democrats in Europe, and so on. Many of them, they also hate the Jews, and you wonder, how could they do both sides like that? How could they hate both sides? Well, they hate the Palestinians because they're using them as a weapon against Donald Trump. And before Trump, they were using the Palestinians as a weapon against those who had the support of many Christians, many evangelical Christians. And they hate the Jews because the Jews are just too close to the book, the people of the book, God's chosen people. So it's just too close for comfort. Israel reminds them of God, and they hate God. So the knee-jerk reaction is to hate Israel. Being God's chosen people, have you seen Fiddler on the Roof? If you haven't seen it, first slap yourself, then go rent it and watch Fiddler on the Roof. Being the chosen people isn't always what it's cracked up to be. And on our YouTube channel, if you just go to our website, kgov.com, click on the top right, you'll see our YouTube channel, the logo there. Click on that, and you might want to view our brief video, Chosen, It's Not What They Think, Chosen. Of course, most of the chosen kings went to hell. Many of the chosen prophets went to hell. Most of the chosen priests went to hell, and most of the chosen people went to hell. That's according to the scriptures. So being chosen, it's not what many people have been told. Okay. Oh, and by the way, the protest since America moved our embassy to Jerusalem, since we announced it, and especially that we opened the embassy on the 70th anniversary of Israel's, the modern state of Israel, Monday, May 14th, 2018, the protest, if you've noticed, it's all about Gaza and the Gaza Strip. The Palestinians in Israel are in two geographic areas. The Gaza Strip along the Mediterranean, right near Egypt, on the border with Egypt and Israel, and the West Bank, a chunk of land that's along on the west side of the Nile River called the West Bank. Well, interestingly, the news has been all about Gaza, almost nothing about the West Bank. Why is that? Because the West Bank has been mostly uninvolved in this current round of protest. And that's mostly because they have been opposed to much of the Gaza-Hamas approach to current events. There is so much disunity. There is so much infighting. There is so much hatred within not only the Palestinians and among the Arabs, but among Muslims generally. And a few years back, when Dinesh D'Souza released in theaters a documentary against Obama, and it was a go vote for Mitt Romney. It doesn't matter that he's the father of Obamacare. He's a radical tax-funded late-term abortion proponent, that he's the father of homosexual marriage, that he's a socialist. None of that matters. Just drink the Kool-Aid and go vote for the Democrat socialist who has an R after his name, child killer, pro-sodomite, all that. Just vote for him. So Dinesh D'Souza makes this Vote for Romney documentary about Obama, and he shows at the very end of it, and I recall going on the radio and saying how deceptive this was. He showed, he pulls out, the camera pulls out from a map of the world, and you see these Muslim nations are colored in red. Deep, dark, scary red. And hey, I agree. The Muslim religion is a lie, and Islam is dangerous. And it's not only a religion, it's a political system. There have been, what, over 31,000 lethal terrorist attacks in the name of Allah since 9/11. And mostly it's Muslims being killed by other Muslims. So at any rate, he's pulling back and he shows all these Muslim nations, a huge swath of the world, all red and all against America. And I remember going on the air and saying that was so manipulative, it was so deceptive, because these Muslim nations hate one another more than they hate Israel and more than they hate America. They hate one another. So it's not this cohesive entity against the West. And in fact, today, it's not Israel against the Arabs. It's Israel and various strong Arab nations against Iran. That's what it is today. Israel and America and various Arab nations against Iran. So at any rate, that kind of division is the main reason why we haven't seen much support for Gaza from the West Bank Palestinians recently. I mean, with all the deaths now, what was it yesterday? Over 50, 55 Palestinians killed. And that's the fault of Hamas. It's the fault of the Palestinians. When you're attacking someone and in defending themselves, you die, that's your fault. And I would have loved to ask Juan Williams if I was there. I've been on the Fox News set in the past. I would have loved to ask him, Juan, if people were trying to break into your home during Thanksgiving, because it's a big celebration in Israel, their 70th anniversary, and they want to come in, and some of them have bombs and guns, and they want to kill your children, your grandchildren, Are you just going to let them come in, or if possible, are you going to defend your loved ones by trying to forcibly prevent them from coming in? In Juan Williams, as a Democrat, as a leftist, as a liar, he would have probably found a way to lie about it. But we know what he would have done. He would have defended his family and his loved ones. And so that's what Israel has done. Hey, Israel is a very evil nation. If you ranked all the nations based on how wicked they are, Israel, they can't get the top spot, the most wicked spot, because that belongs to America. Because the more you know God and then you turn your back on him, the more culpable you are. That is biblical. So the person who knows to do good and does not do it, that person brings the greatest destruction upon themselves and the world around them. So Bill Clinton has an affair. He cheats on Hillary. He mocks his daughter Chelsea, and people chuckle. But someone who loves the Lord, I don't even want to give a name, but I will say Tim Tebow. If Tim Tebow committed sexual immorality, it would be devastating to tens of millions of people. But Bill Clinton, it's mostly a joke. So the more you know God and turn against him, and you slaughter your own children, you promote sexual immorality, you're socialist, you violate God's commands, that's all the more wicked you are. So based on that biblical scale, the most wicked nation in the world must be America, because we were based on so much of the Christian worldview, so much of it, knowing Jesus Christ. Israel never knew Christ, but Israel knew Moses. They knew Abraham. They were the people of the book, and they turned their back on the God of Abraham. Jesus said, if you believed in Moses, you would believe in me. If you believed in Moses, you would believe in me, but you reject me, which shows that you reject Moses and you reject the God of Abraham. Regardless of your words, it is your actions, it is your heart. So Israel cannot be the most wicked nation in the world because there's America. But after us, they're right up there near the top. But God wants us to love our neighbors, even love our enemies, and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we are called upon to love the Jews and to share with them that Jesus was a Jew. You know, the Jews have been Jews for how many years now? Israel, as a national identity. If you think about this, and we've been studying verse by verse, going through the whole Bible. Most recently, we've gone through the book of Exodus. Now we're more than halfway done with the book of Leviticus. But the Jews, for 3,500 years since Moses, and before that with circumcision, going back to 4,000 years ago to the time of Abraham, the Jews have not disappeared. They've not melted into the background of humanity. They have remained a cohesive ethnic group, in significant part because of the symbolic ordinances that God gave to them for exactly this purpose. As we've learned in our studies of many of the books of the Bible, but especially most recently in Exodus and Leviticus, God legislated for Israel. He gave them moral commands. He gave them commands toward God. Commands toward God, commands toward your neighbor, and then symbolic ordinances. And these are three different tiers of laws in the Bible: the law toward God, the law toward man, and the symbolic ordinances. Symbolic, like clothing of pure fabrics. Now, why would that be? Well, there's symbolism there, because Christ, the Messiah to come, he would be our covering. And he is holy, pure, and righteous, without spot or blemish, like the Passover lamb. So your clothing, your covering, should be pure, because it's a way of symbolizing Christ, the Messiah, who would be our covering. But that doesn't mean that every single aspect of those many dozens of ordinances have specific symbolic meaning. Whether the symbolism is discerned or not by God's people, oftentimes when God legislated how the children of Abraham should dress, he gave them a dietary law, economic and religious and familial particulars, such that everything an Israelite did from when he woke in the morning to when he retired at night, and all life long, from circumcision to his burial, everything reminded the Jews for thousands of years now of their national covenant with God. And it all worked whether or not individual Jews, whether or not a rabbi was an atheist, whether or not the nation was in rebellion against God or not, it all worked whether they hated God or not. For if they obeyed, then they obeyed the Lord. And if they disobeyed, then they were disobeying the Lord. So that they were focusing on God or running away from him. In either way, he was at the center of their existence. It's like the BC and AD, and they've changed it to before the Common Era and after the Common Era, BCE and ACE. And we had members of Denver Bible Church go to the Museum of Nature and History to see the Dead Sea Scrolls. Cheryl and I went with some of our kids and friends. But other members went, and they asked them about this BCE. And they said, isn't that really just BC, before Christ? And the tour guide there said, well, actually, it's before the Common Era. And they said, well, is there a Common Era? And the tour guide said, well, not really. And they said, isn't it really just BC, before Christ? Isn't it based on when Christ was born? And the tour guide said, well, really, yeah. So when they write ACE or BCE, you know what they're thinking about? They're thinking about Jesus Christ. When they write these initials to date all the events in the history of the world, they can't stop from thinking about Jesus Christ. Because either they honor him or they dishonor him, still he is the center of their lives. And so God's all-encompassing ordinances for national Israel have been effective in keeping the Jews Jewish. For 2,000 years, even since they lost their homeland, but for the 1,500 and 2,000 years before that. And there are anti-Semite Christians, racists, who say that the Jews are not Jews. They don't realize it, but they are calling God a failure and suggesting that his regulations, his error-correcting regulations, designed to keep Israel as a people forever, they don't realize that God's purpose in those regulations has succeeded, but they're saying that they failed. But God has not failed. And his law has not failed. As Jesus said, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle, not one bit of the law will pass away until all is fulfilled. And part of that fulfillment is that, as with the Bible prophecies about Israel and Jerusalem that we read yesterday, remember that God loves Israel and has established them forever, and that Judah shall abide forever in Jerusalem from generation to generation. And that word Judah, that's where we get Jew from, Judah. There was southern Israel was called Judah after the tribe of Judah. In northern Israel, the 10 tribes were called Israel. And so Judah, that's where we get Jew from. That even their capital city, Jerusalem, the Bible says, would remain a source of tension for all the world until the end times, as it is this very day, and as it has been for decades and centuries and millennia. And recall what Jesus said, contradicting the racist Christians who say that the term Israel is good and the term Jew means bad. Right? That's racist. And in fact, yesterday, what did I do? I said Goyim. a Jewish term for Gentiles. I didn't realize that was derogatory. So I was being derogatory toward myself. So for those hypersensitive in the audience, I'll try not to be derogatory toward myself. Okay, so there are racist Christians who say the term Jew is bad. When the Bible says Jew, it's bad. And Jesus, thankfully, just incidentally in passing in the Gospel of John, he says salvation is of the Jews. Now, he could have said salvation is of Israel because they're interchangeable. They're synonyms. But he didn't. He said salvation is of the Jews, and there's plenty other evidence to show the absurdity of the racist Christian teaching that's at the fringe of the body of Christ. But as we've discussed at length, and I mentioned briefly yesterday, many Christians, and I mean actual, true, Bible-believing Christians over the centuries, have been guilty of grotesque and wicked racism, anti-Semitism against the Jews, and racism against blacks and others, of course, but specifically anti-Semitism against the Jews. And perhaps none have been quite as wicked or vicious as Martin Luther in the two racist books that he wrote. You know, the father of the Protestant Reformation, that Martin Luther. And he wrote these books, this dripping hatred and racism, not when he was senile, as some of his apologists have claimed, but he wrote them before he wrote some of his widely respected theological work. So it's called replacement theology. It insists that God is forever done with the Jews. Whereas in Romans 11, God says that for rejecting the resurrected Messiah, he has temporarily cut off Israel. Now I'm paraphrasing, but you read it and you see it's explicit. He has temporarily cut off Israel, but he tells us through the Apostle Paul, he will graft them back in again after the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. So the body of Christ today is Jew and Gentile equally. It has a Gentile characteristic to it because it's the covenant of uncircumcision. There is no circumcision required. Paul says, don't circumcise for theological reasons. If you circumcise for cultural reasons, whatever, that's fine. But do not circumcise in obedience of the covenant of circumcision, because then you're disobeying God, and then you're not living by the covenant of grace. You're living by the flesh under the law. And Paul says, don't do that. And then if anybody teaches you to do that, I'm angry at them for teaching you to do that. So there's plenty of false teaching to go around. In fact, it's on both sides of the spectrum. There are Christians who hate the Jews, they're racist, and there are others who love the Jews so much, like Juan Williams loves the Palestinians, that his love, based on falsehoods, becomes hatred. There are others who love the Jews so much that they hate them, and they say they don't need to believe in Jesus to be saved. They can be saved by Moses. And we have an article on that. Just go to kgov.com/Luther. Go to the bottom of the page and you click on our article, What of the Jews Who Reject Christ? And Jesus said, if they believed in Moses, they would believe me because Moses wrote of me. If they reject me, they are rejecting Moses. They're rejecting the God of Abraham. Why? Because Jesus is the God of Abraham. Jesus is the one who revealed himself to Abraham. So that brings us to the Christians on the two ends of the spectrum, right? Those who hate the Jews so much, they just hate them. And those who love them so much, they hate them by saying, you don't need to believe in Jesus. They give them a false sense of security. So toward that side of the spectrum, but not quite there, are our huge end times ministries that have been strong for 50 years. And I think of all the leaders of the end times movement, the ones in the modern age, there were ones in the century before them, and you go back through the centuries, and you always had teachers who were saying, this is the end times, and here's why. And they were all wrong. And it's important to live with the hope of Christ's return. His return has always been imminent, meaning God is free. Peter wrote that we could hasten the coming of the Lord. Jesus could return at any time, and that was always true. He always could have returned at any time, and so the apostles believed. And so if he could have returned at any time, and he still can, that means there really can't be any signs that have to be fulfilled before he returns, because he could return at any time. But in the modern era of the end times teachers, think of all the big names. Tim LaHaye, Jack Van Impe, Hal Lindsey, all these guys, did they think that they would all die of old age when they were in their youth preaching that we were in the end times, when they were in their prime, when they were celebrating their 40th wedding anniversaries, when they got to their 50th and 60th? No, they didn't think they'd all die of old age. They were convinced, based on their interpretation of the headlines of current events, they were convinced that that meant that the end would come, you know, 1988, that was a big year. Of course it would be, right? Alliterate. 88, 1988, sounds perfect. The book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988, and that was after it was supposed to be in 81, the second coming in 88, 7 years later. But Tim LaHaye, right, the author of the Left Behind series, he passed away in 2016. Did he think he would die of old age? Chuck Smith, he passed away in 2013. He was born in 1927. Did he think he would die of old age? Chuck Missler, he died this year in 2018. Did he think he would die of old age? Hal Lindsey, author of The Late Great Planet Earth. I love the book. I interviewed him years ago. He was born in 1929. He's now 88 years old. Did he think he would die of old age? John Hagee, he's a young one, right? He was born in 1940. He's 78 years old already. Jack Van Impe, who was born in 1931, he's 87 years old. A while back, he had his 60-year anniversary with Rexella. If you got a wife named Rexella, you know you're old, right? He began ministering in 1948. Jack Van Impe, he's one of the biggest of the big end times preachers. And he began as a preacher in 1952. Jack Van Impe, he's 87 years old. I hope he lives to 100. Did these guys, based on their understanding of the Bible and their looking at current events, did they believe that they would die of old age? The answer is no, not a one of them. And yet they all have, because they were all wrong. They weren't wrong that we need to love Jesus Christ, but they were wrong on their interpretations. On today's show summary at kgov.com for May 15th, 2018, I'm going to put a list of the dates that Christians had predicted, the supposedly significant dates, and now those dates are hundreds of years in the past, 1,000 years in the past, 100 years, 70, 61, and so on. Hey, tell us when it's the last minutes, okay? The last days, they're lasting too long.